The first scripture reading this morning from the Old Testament is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4 and 8 to 11. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they'd been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Is that better? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So imagine what your Advent and Christmas preparations might be like in some places in this country or in this world today. This weekend, the East Coast is battling snow and strong winds and flooding. There are places in Europe where recent earthquakes and flooding have made life much more complicated. And then there's life in what we commonly call the Holy Land. When our focus at this time of year is our preparation for the birth of the Christ, rather than focusing on our preparation for the birth of the Christ, we can be consumed by these other things. And the very same things bring hope into the above situations as bring hope into any of ours. We are preparing to celebrate the birth of the Christ, the birth of hope in a broken world. None of us would say that our circumstances are absolutely perfect, I imagine, any more than would anyone have in Jesus' time or anyone in the time during which Isaiah was prophesying, as Doris just read for us. Today's reading that Doris read was written by the one known as Third Isaiah, who was another who studied under Isaiah and continued his voice after he was gone. By the time of our reading for today, the Hebrews had returned from their time of exile. They worked at rebuilding a sense of community and their temple and their lives, and it was never easy. The message this speaker for Isaiah brought to the people from their God in these verses is one of good news and hope and even a bit of change in direction. This Isaiah has been given a specific task here. The Spirit of God was on him and had anointed him to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of God, to comfort all who mourn. The results of all this would be, he told his listeners, that ruins would be built up, devastations raised up, ruined cities repaired. And why would all of this happen? Remember that why is a God question. All of this would happen because I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will give them their recompense. I will make an everlasting covenant. None of what Isaiah has said for God in this book will happen only because of the chosenness of the Hebrew people. It will happen because their God is a God who loves justice, who loves them, who has plans for them to be light and life in the divine created world. Hope has indeed shown up for them. And as we turn to our reading from John's Gospel, we see that hope is about to show up again. God didn't just make a covenant with the Hebrew people and then take off. God continued to accompany them through the ages, and at a point, the time had clearly come for God's Son to come as a person into the world. Our verses from John's Gospel introduce the introducer, a man named John. When we read carefully, we see that this John, who is not called John the Baptist here, this John becomes known to the people more by who he is not than by who he is. He is not the light, but he came to testify to the light. He is not the Messiah, even though no one had actually asked that question yet. He is not Elijah or a prophet. As Gary Charles wrote in his commentary, John is a witness sent by God to testify to the Word made flesh, the light that no darkness has or ever will extinguish. The principal vocation of John in this gospel, then, is to bear witness, a verb that occurs 33 times in the gospel according to John, and only twice in the other three Gospels. John the Witness, we might call him, comes to bring hope to the people. The hope he brings is that the hope of the world, that is Jesus, the Messiah, is among them. At last, the people might have said. Those in positions of power in the temple had made their lives difficult. The Romans had made their lives difficult. Now the One is among them. Hope has shown up. What will that mean for them? They can't possibly know, but they will be finding out in the next few short years. And experience later, what does it mean for us? A part of God's challenge for us might be found in that word, witness. We're not called to be Jesus. After all, we're called to follow Jesus, to witness to what he did and what he and those who follow him, like John, what they did and what those who follow him now continue to do among us. Where do we see hope? Some days it's difficult. Where do we see the light, even a tiny bit of light? Can we adjust our eyes so that we see light where there may be very little? We can be like John. We can bear witness. We can say, look. Each of us has a story or stories about where we've seen the light of Christ active around us and through us. A kind word changes someone's day or saves a situation. Someone at the grocery store was a dollar short, and the person behind that person put a dollar on the counter, and the look on that person's face was worth getting up in the morning. A child came to school without a coat. A mom went back home, brought a coat over to the school. The kid now had a coat. Or a Salvation Army bell ringer standing out in the cold. For longer than most of us would like to stand out in the cold. And still, that person has a smile for every person who walks by, whether or not they have coins or dollars to put in the pot that day. We see these things. Maybe our Advent preparation is simply to point and say, look. We may have just pointed to Jesus among us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that we know Jesus among us. Make sure that we pay attention and that we share where we see Jesus among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Worship Commission decided we wanted to take a short time to honor Shirley Eaton. Her family will plan a celebration for of life next summer, but it seemed appropriate for us to take a few moments to celebrate all that she has been to this church. At her passing, she was the longest living member of this congregation, so we'll each have our own special memories. Please plan to share those during coffee hour. Copies of the obituary are in the fellowship hall, and I'll share a bit more here about her life in this church. Shirley was a member of this congregation for 75 years, joining when she was just 17 to sing in the choir. She continued singing until March of 2020, when the church halted due to COVID. She also graced us over the years with very many beautiful soprano solos. She and Gary were married in this church when she was 19. Gary was not a church-going man in his younger years, but Shirley always brought the children and encouraged their spiritual growth. In later years, Gary became more active and he helped Shirley and Gail as they decorated the church every year. When my family came to the church in 1961, Shirley invited Mom to join the choir. They sat together in the soprano section for over 59 years, becoming great friends and comrades for many projects of this church. Shirley sewed, washed, ironed, and sorted clothing for the Open End Project. She supported the bazaar with wonderful items for the bake sale and worked in the kitchen. She was always there for decorating, organizing, cleaning up at the bazaar. She and Gail decorated for Christmas each season. She helped in the kitchen for potlucks and fellowship time after church services. Check out pictures from these events in the fellowship hall. Be sure to specifically look for the one with the tree in the sanctuary. Gary used to arrange for very tall trees to be brought in. Mom and Shirley would decorate the top before the men raised the tree and attached a wooden stand. Then the rest could be done. Shirley was a sweet and gentle soul, but she was strong enough to handle whatever came her way. Raising four children, three boys and a girl, helping Gary with his business, and her church activities made her life very full. She was a great cook as well. One of my favorite memories was one of my visits when I was with Julie and I were doing youth group, and we were over at their home. Gary was bringing in apples, Shirley was baking pies, and at the same time, somehow, the kitchen was clean, and she was calm and collected and tidy. And I always wondered how she could do that, and I still do. Losing Gary and then her daughter Julie just over a year later was very hard for her. But she had a strong faith and she continued to pray for others even as she grieved and began to have more difficulties with her own health. She loved this church family and she always hated missing Sunday services. I feel very lucky to have had her in my life for as long as I did. And I will miss her very much, as I know you will. After the service, please stay and share your memories with each other as we celebrate her life, her many congregations to this congregation. And we get to enjoy her cookies as prepared by Helen with her recipes. And there are recipes for you to take with you, so please do so. And now, will you join with me in singing hymn number 88?
Thank you. Now let us go out in hope. Let us go out to bring hope. Let us go out to be hope, knowing that we are held by holy hands with a love that will not let us go.